thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio with Grant and Jessica and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. And we're continuing on in James 3, 13 through 18. And last time we were doing a contrast between heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom, and now we're going to talk about that list.
That's wonderful. I have this quote. It says, is by Francis Chan that said this. He says, wisdom's not about education. It's wisdom is about action. It's about character. James says, if you have wisdom from above, then you're going to be pure. There's going to be holiness in your life. And then my husband, when we were doing this series, he found this quote, and C.S. Lewis was talking about wisdom, but he was using the explanation with the word courage to kind of show wisdom applied. And C.S. Lewis says, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but it's the form of every virtue acted out at its testing point. Mm-hmm. And so if we consider wisdom, it's really us taking our knowledge and at the critical moment of acting it out at that moment. Mm-hmm. And making it applied. And so last time on the radio, we went through and we made a list of all of the false aspects of wisdom and the godly wisdom. But I'm going to have Jess read for us first the chapter so that we can have it back what we're reading, and then we'll look at those two lists.
If you are wise in understanding God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism, and it is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness.
Mm, so beautiful. I love it. And I love how James is just so clear about it. Okay. So I'm going to use the list that's actually in my Life Application Study Bible. It's the New Living Translation. And I like the way that they broke them out. So I'm going to start off first with, they give the example of what is wisdom that is from Satan. So false wisdom. Okay, this is not God's wisdom. And scripture, according to James, very clearly says that false wisdom is demonic. It's not of God. And so bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, earthly concerns or earthly desires, unspiritual thoughts, unspiritual ideas, disorder, and evil. And when I was going through and making my list before I was looking at theirs and I was creating them out, I had written down, I get the idea of confusion. For me, anytime I have confusion in a conversation or in a circumstance, I go back and I'm like, okay, God, I need wisdom, because confusion, Scripture says, is not of God. He is a God that gives clarity. And so whenever confusion comes up, I begin to ask him, I need that clarity, I need wisdom, because I don't know how to apply truth, because obviously confusion's coming in. And what I will often find within myself is that I'm usually struggling, maybe internally, with a thought or an idea or a judgment or an attitude that I want to allow to affect my actions. And so I'll just own it for myself. I'm not going to put that on anybody else. That is the reality of what can happen within us. And so I want that to be on our mind. So let's look at Satan's list: bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, earthly concerns and desires, unspiritual thoughts and ideas, disorder and evil. Okay, why do you think James wanted us to see this list? Why do you think he wanted the church at the time, the group of people that had dispersed all over, that were out there, why do you think it was important to him for them to have this specific list? Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking that recognizing a wisdom or lack of wisdom is so helpful in just moving forward, and as the early church is developing what they believe and who their leaders are and things like that, being able to recognize godly wisdom would be so important. And so seeing the, you know, I mean, I just think of any leaders that we have, whether it's in America or in like smaller organizations or whatever, so often our temptation is to pick the person who has the best credentials, which I think is more of that worldly wisdom. Whereas if we're choosing a person based on their character and on the consistency that they show throughout their life, they may not be necessarily the most quote unquote qualified, but they would live it out and can learn and adapt and grow from that. Whereas the other person is going to do whatever they feel like doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good.
And with talking about the church and it being dispersed, you can really tell that this, both lists are specifically geared towards them. Because for the worldly side, it has disorder, envy, and selfish ambition listed. So disorder, you know, they're all dispersed. So everything's not in order. It's in disorder. And because of that, they have envy of everyone else, all the other groups of people that are able to be grouped together in spite of their dispersion, and selfish ambition to become, I mean, it's not a bad ambition to, you know, want to be united again, but they still can take it as a selfish ambition and use that ambition wrongly, making it selfish. And then for the good side, it says wisdom is from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits without favoritism and hypocrisy. So it talks about first it needs to be pure, peace-loving, and gentle. So, I mean, they're obviously not going to want to be peace-loving and gentle because they're going to want to be causing all of these disruptions to try and bring themselves back together. They're going to want to be splitting up other people and their unity to bring their people back together. And compliant, full of mercy, so that, again, deals with them having to deal with other groups of people as they're trying to bring themselves together, and without favoritism and hypocrisy. So that, you know, would have to do with favoriting their group of people over others and the hypocrisy of, oh, we want to become united again, so let's take over the area where these people are. So, you know, because it's causing the dispersion in other groups of people. Yeah.
It's true. It is true. And it's good wisdom that you both have spoken. Everything that you guys just said reminds me of things from my 20s when these truths were evident in me, because I started studying the book of James for the first time, I think about 22. It was probably the age. And so I was like astounded by the things that I was reading and so convicted on so many levels. But just thinking through, okay, I'm looking at so-and-so, and all of a sudden I have envy and jealousy, and it's usually because I want something they have, and or I allow bitterness to happen because I don't have it, but they have it. And so I begin the comparisonitis. Mm-hmm. And then all the things that show purity and peace, thinking through about others, that mercy, that impartiality, it's gone. And that then separates. And one of the things that I discovered, and I think the reason why it shows here that the thoughts are evil, is one, because we're told in Romans that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But the reason is that if I allow myself, and I'll just use me and Greg, because that's the place I'm most likely to sin in my life. If I allow myself to go into a thought process that is negative towards my husband, he can have a heart that's completely pure. Mm-hmm. And because I'm allowing myself to dwell in a spirit of judgment or attitude, it affects then my behavior, which changes my actions. And so it causes a division. And so I have learned that my thought process actually determines the relationships. And wisdom applied is learning how to have it so that my relationships are in peace and in love and in unity and oneness. And so questioning myself. And so oftentimes when I'm in a situation, I will begin the thought process when I feel my heart has caused my thoughts to go out of where they should. And I'll begin convicting myself, confessing, asking God to slay those thoughts, to bring back that which is holy so that I can be restored in how I'm interacting.
Yeah. I think as you were talking, I just was reminded of the need for being in the Word regularly because we get caught up in our own wisdom and we think that we know everything and that, you know, and that we're right in our thoughts and our actions. Mm-hmm. And it's not until we have that standard of the Bible to go against and say, oh, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I thought I was acting in wisdom, and look at all of the mistakes I've made.
Yeah, the Word is very convicting.
Right. It is extremely convicting. And then to make sure that when we're in it, because I'll testify it's possible, there's not a day I'm not in the Word. And that's because I have to do it, because as Beth Moore, when I sat under her teaching when I was a young 20-year-old, she used to say, one day without the Word, I'm so lost. And I have discovered I can't even claim one day. I can literally fail 1 hour from the time I wake up to the time Greg wakes up, that if I am not allowing myself to be transformed by the renewing of my mind and the Word, I fail very fast.
It's easy.
But I can also allow the knowledge of gaining the knowledge to be where my knowledge is a gaining of knowledge and not wisdom. And so I have started, actually, with probably in the last year or so, when I hit the Word, because so much of what I do is ministering to people, I will ask God, please show me what's for me before I begin praying for them. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't have that first and foremost, I automatically will read Scripture and how I can give it to the people I'm ministering to. And that's not Tara applying truth. That's in her life, that's me trying to figure out how to apply truth in someone else's life. And so I'm asking God when I sit down, please let me, for me.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy to see other people's sin and how the Bible addresses it. It's so much harder to see my own, and it hurts so much more when I read it and go, oh, I need to change.
Oh, it's me.
Yeah. What was that song? It's me. Oh, wait. Pastor Kurt sang it the other day at church. What? It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my mother, not my brother, not my sister, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Right? That's a good song. Sorry. For all of you that are gifted musically, you know.
That was good. You were on tune.
Sorry.
Mine would be like this.
But it's amazing. So looking at this, what would you say out of bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, earthly concerns or desires, unspiritual thoughts and ideas, disorder and evil? Personally, I'm going to have us answer it first personally. Which one do you feel you struggle with the most? And then as you go and minister out in the world, which one have you seen that you've had to minister to the most recently? So I'll start, because I won't ask you guys to do some. I won't. Mine would be, I think, thoughts.
That's where I was going.
I have to get my thoughts dealt with constantly. I'm constantly dealing with my thought process. Now, because I don't know people's thoughts, I don't see their thought process. So I honestly, that's one I don't know how to deal with, because it's in them. I can't see that. But what I often hear and deal with and end up, I feel like, confronting is jealousy. I think that's probably the one that I feel I have to deal with the most. That if I could go and counter, get down to the heart of what I'm seeing. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily true, because I don't know their thoughts, but that's what visually I'm gaining from the experience.
I guess the one I'm with you, thoughts. It's been a long struggle with this right now. But the one that I see that I feel like I need to confront, and I have to have wisdom how to, is gossiping. Because they're putting down friends and pastors. I'm thinking, So I always try to find something good about that person and bring it up into the conversation. Try to change the conversation, you know, because it's hard. That is so easy to jump right in with them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not good. Okay. That causes the disorder then.
Right.
Well, and it's so hard because we are all sinful. And so I'm sure there's something that we could all complain about someone else. But there's also inherent good in all of us as well, because of that we're made in the image of God. And so yeah, dwelling on the positive creates that attitude that is that is healthy.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's the selfish ambition that I see both in myself and in others, that so often I just get caught up with what I'm doing, whether it's just the goals that I have or the plans or even reading scripture and just, but it's all me, and it's not that humility of thinking of others and thinking of God. And I get wrapped up in me, and I forget, oh, right, there's an entire world out here. The world isn't about me. And it's actually about God and what he's doing.
No, yeah, that's the one I was going to say, too, with envy and selfish ambition. Because especially as, like, this last year, I've been, like, prepping for college and trying to figure out what I want to do. You know, it's really easy to get into that envy and selfish ambition, because it's like, okay, what do I want to do with my life? How, like, what do I want to accomplish? Where do I want to be? And so, I can very easily see that in the last year of my life being, you know, the main thing. And then, one thing I wanted to say with what you were saying about gossiping about people and, you know, how a lot of times they're, like, bad and good with people. That's something that, like, really I've been thinking about a lot lately, because it's, like, the world, and we can especially see this in, like, modern media and all this stuff like that. It's like we see everything as black and white. It's like they're either a good person or they're a bad person. And it's like we forget that, like, we are all very much in a gray area. It's like, sure, you might be a slightly darker shade of gray or a slightly lighter shade of gray, but we're still all gray. And it's like so interesting how we just stick to that black and white mindset, to where, like, even if there's someone who's, like, you know, white in our mind, that they're, like, you know, great and all this stuff like that, but then they do something wrong, it's not like, oh, wow, they're not this perfect person. They're this great person. It's like, oh, wow, they're this awful person. And it's like that switch just automatically happens. And it's so, you know, something I've been trying to work on with always trying to recognize, you know, like, the good and bad in people. So when there's a situation you see that's like, oh, wow, this person is awful or something like that, you know, try to, like, bring out those good things, because it's not just so black and white all the time.
I remember when my heroes growing up, when I realized, oh, hey, they're sinful people too. And it was earth-shattering because, yeah, I had just looked up to them for so long, and everything that had come out of their mouth was wisdom, and I just was so excited to just hear what they had to say. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, they're broken too.
Yeah, we all fall.
All fall.
We all fall. Anybody on a pedestal, because it will fall off.
Right. Yeah, yeah. There's no person that is perfect.
That's right.
It's just,
far from it. Yeah.
But I'm so glad Jesus is perfect.
Yes. Amen.
And that in him,
and someday,
sin is forgiven and guilt is removed. And through Christ, eternal life is provided. And so that's beautiful. I know for myself that because of sin, my greatest grief was that my sin caused somebody to sin.
Yes.
Because it makes
them
judge.
Don't make them stumble. Yep.
God bless.